Okay, so if you could open up, if you have your Bibles or phones, because you're millennials, open up to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 38 through 42. We'll jump to one other part later on. I think that's in Luke. I don't actually remember where it is. All right, so I'm reading from the NIV version. And this one is at the home of Mary or Martha and Mary. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So I'm going to talk about a few different aspects of this and just kind of how we can relay it to our lives in a few different ways. Honestly, this has been a story that keeps kind of popping up in my head lately. So I've been sitting on this for a little while, and today it just kind of felt right to go over it. So we're going to look at it in the context of the holiday season, just because it's Christmas time, and that's always kind of fun to talk about Christmas. And then we're going to look at it in our personal lives as well as our ministry lives. So the Christmas time is just a little more fun added to it, and then we'll slowly transition into more serious aspects of it. I really like the holiday season. It starts at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and Christmas are like my two favorite holidays, and they're right after each other. I was born on Thanksgiving, so I'm a little more biased towards Thanksgiving because I get gifts for both of those. So it's really fun for me. And I think that the holiday season's super magical, especially living out here. Like growing up in California, it was pretty cool, but like being in Utah, it's really magical because we've got like snow, you know, and then people spend time together and we're like indoors and we're drinking hot chocolate and putting up stockings and there's fires, unless you're in like Salt Lake County where you can't have fires. You get to look at the lights. It's also the one time of year where we allow Michael Bublé and Kenny G and Mariah Carey and Wham out of their boxes that we keep them in, and for 3 weeks they're relevant again. It's also like the only time of the year where you see suburban conservative Christian women get really mad about the war on Christmas because a corporation won't put the word Christmas on a coffee cup. Like I said, it's a really magical time, and I just get super excited about it. And I think part of it is because I see people change around this time. Like just like the seasons change, I feel like we change with the seasons. And the second it gets to the holiday time, you see people start to get more excited about things and more passionate and more cozy, and everybody starts to eat food and just hang out and really pour into each other's. But at the same time, I feel like there are two types of people. There are people who feel obligated to do, and then people who just want to be. So let's look at Martha in this. So Martha was super focused on making sure that everything was perfect. And I don't blame her for that. She had a house full of people. Now, the Bible doesn't really go into depth on what she was doing, but we can assume that it's safe to say that she was preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples and everyone that was there with him. So she was really trying to do that and trying to make sure that it was the best that it was. And so Martha was very overwhelmed because there was so much for her to do, and her sister, who was supposed to be helping her, which at this time was the woman's role, was not doing that. And instead, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from him as the rabbi he was. And so culturally, like when we look at that, here was a woman's doing a man's job, which was sitting and learning about scripture and learning about God. And so that really frustrated Martha, because Martha was like, "Hey, I have so much to do. I've got to make sure everything's okay. Everything's got to be perfect." And I'm sure with Mary, it just kind of seemed like, oh, Martha will just take care of it. At least that's how that Martha looked at it. So I think even during like the holiday season, we have people that are like that. We have people that are like, "I got to make sure I have the right gifts. I got to make sure that I do this. Then I got to do this and this. And then we've got this feast, and I got to prepare this, and I got to do this." And they don't sit down and take the time just to enjoy what's in front of them. And I think those people are the people that get really stressed out around the holidays. And I agree that, like, the holidays can be super stressful. If it's stressful, if you work in the retail industry, you'll know that. You have to deal with people, and you're like, hey, like, humanity's supposed to be super great and awesome, and I'm seeing the worst of people. Because people aren't sitting and taking for granted what they have in front of them. So inversely, we can look at Mary and see how she was the complete opposite of Martha. So her concern wasn't with the tradition necessarily, but rather the importance of being in relationship with others. So we can look at that, like if we're looking at that through Christmas, that I look at that as, hey, like I want to spend time with people and make sure that people have some place to go. And that's one of the things that I like about the season is I see people come together. And like last year for me, this was my first time away from family. I had a bunch of people reach out to me and be like, well, come be a part of my family. Come have dinner, break bread, have a relationship with us. And for me, that meant a lot because I was like, it's always been a family tradition for me. It's always been all about family. Like, I don't go hang out with other people. I hang out with my family because that's what's safe for me. But I think that the really important aspect of this was that she was spending time with Jesus. So if we look at this from the lens of the church, we see that Martha was really focused on what she could do for Jesus, that she didn't pay attention with the fact that she could be with Jesus. And I think a lot of that stems from the culture. Like, especially here in, like, America, we're so focused on what we can do, what we can achieve, what we can have, everything, like, you can get back into, like, the historical aspects of that and look at, like, the 1950s and about how we had, like, this huge boom because we won the war and all of a sudden we all had money so we had to buy things. And it was this huge thing of, like, well, I need to show off what I can have and what I can do. And I think that we put an unreal expectation on that performance aspect of things. And I feel like that's trickled into the church. So the church has really fallen into that trap, in my opinion. You feel free to disagree with me. I'm completely okay with that. And I see that the church is always concerned, at least some of the other churches that I've been a part of, it's always been, how do we get more people here? How do we set up this ministry? How do we do this or that for God? And I don't think that that is an inherently bad thing to do. I think that it does become a problem when it overshadows our chance to spend time with God. If we were created to be relational beings, that means that we are supposed to spend time with God. If we are just going out and going and doing things for God, whether it's a good thing or not, and we're missing this opportunity to actually spend time with the Holy Spirit and spend time with God, that's when it starts to become an issue. That's when the church starts to get sick. That's when you see people get hurt. So I've been listening to this series from a church called Van City Church. I kind of stumbled upon it because this guy that played in a punk band I really liked moved to the Pacific Northwest and started a church. And I've just been on this kick with them and reading a bunch of different theology and philosophy and stuff. So I kind of fell into this when I was reading up on open theism. We could talk about that later because I don't fully understand it yet. But one of their big points on this sermon series they've been doing is the Holy Spirit. So they've been talking about Pentecost and talking about all this different stuff and like how do we work with the Holy Spirit and something like that. And one of the things that they really have focused on that kind of hit me was that you need to spend time with God. And I feel like we can all say that and it's really easy to be like, yeah, no, like that's a no-brainer. But their idea is that looking at the Holy Spirit, they view it as a being or an entity or a person, whatever you want to call it, it is a thing. It is not an object, but it is a thing. The difference between an object and a thing is a thing you can have, a thing you can have a relationship with, whereas an object you cannot have a relationship. I can have a relationship with Cassie. I can sit there, I can know her heart, I can understand her, I can understand where she's coming from, how she processes things. I cannot do that with the chair she is sitting on. I can look at the chair and I can sit on it and I can use it. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't something that we just sit and go, I'm going to use it. It's not the Force. There's your Star Wars thing for you. It's not the Force, okay? It's like having a friend. A perfect example is in one of the sermons they were talking about, a guy's car broke down. He was able to call his friends because he knew where they were going to be, he knew what their schedule was, and he knew that they would be willing to help because there was a need to help. So the more you start spending time with the Holy Spirit, you kind of understand what's going on with that. And that's something I've been talking about a lot lately, and it's just really been on my heart. partially because I think that it's a really easy concept to understand and a really hard concept to practice. Again, that ties in with this whole Mary Martha type of a thing. So I think that when you're spending time with God and with the presence of Jesus, that's when your relationship grows. Kicking it back to like improv for me, some of the people I do the best improv with are like my friend Sam and my friend Dan Raj. And that's because I've spent so much time hanging out with them that I understand where they're going to take a scene or when they need to make a joke and what their wheelhouse and understanding is, that I can set them up for success. Conversely, they can set me up for success because they understand how I think and how I process. It's almost a symbiotic relationship, if you will. And I think that when we do that, that's when we start to see miracles, not just in our lives, but in the lives of others. Because that's when we have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God, we can start to go, okay, I know what His will in this situation is. Let's pray about X, Y, and Z. And when you pray about that, that's when you start to see things happen. And I think that if this season that we're in is really remembering like Christ's birth and what He did for us, like everyone says that like, oh, remember the reason for the season and stuff like that, I think it's really easy just to do that and say like, oh yeah, it's Jesus. But when you actually sit down and you start to think about it, that's when we should realize that we need to focus on that relationship. So Martha's biggest issue with this whole thing was that she had become distracted and she had and worried. Like if you look back, let me see if I can find it real quick. It says, verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she wasn't focused on God. Yes, she was doing something for God, and I'm sure that Jesus really appreciated the food. He really appreciated the drinks. He appreciated the warm fire or whatever that was going on. Yes, none of that stuff is inherently bad. But again, she put that over a relationship with Christ. And I think for me, like, I'm really guilty of that. Like, there's so many times where I've been doing something and I'm, like, starting to get stressed out. And I'm like, oh, I got to do this because it's for ministry and, like, stuff like this. And I put too much on my plate. And all of a sudden, like, I'll hear a voice in the back of my head that just says, okay, Martha. And I go, oh, crap. Don't want to be Martha, you know? Yeah. Again, it's coming from a place of wanting to serve, but you can't serve something that you don't have a relationship with. And I think that, like, it's not just in my relationship with Christ that I have that. Like, I see it in my personal relationships with people, too, where I overcommit, and I try to do everything, and I end up hurting people in the process, and I'm always like, well, you know, I did this, and I should have thought about that better, or I should have looked at my calendar and made sure I didn't have something already planned for that. And while I believe that we're called to serve, I think that more importantly, we're called to sit at the feet of Jesus. Like even going back into the book of Acts, you see some of the apostles went and they preached and everyone was like, oh, what the heck? Like these guys shouldn't be preaching. But it's because like their power came from being with Jesus. That's where they got their power from. Like all their understanding, like they were uneducated men, yet they knew so much about all this stuff because they had spent so much time with Jesus and they had seen it enacted. And I think what was really interesting about like this verse is that like Martha, she even goes as far as to accuse Jesus of not caring for what she did. Like just sitting on that, like that blew me away. Like I read it and I was like, oh, okay. And I reread it and I went, wait, she just accused like the Messiah of not caring because she's like, look at everything I've done. And Jesus was like, I'm not asking you to do this. I'm asking you to come sit and just be with me. That's all I want. And like his response to her is like the greatest thing ever, because he just goes, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Like I can just like picturing that, like I don't think it's like him coming down hard on her. I think it's just kind of one of those things like, hey, Martha, come on. Like, you're overreacting a little bit right now. Just sit down. You're worried about all this different stuff, but there's only, like, one thing that you really need to be worrying about, and that's us. Just focus on that right now. And so I think that when we stop focusing on Jesus, that's when we really start to let the worry in. So we live in a place of anxiety and a place of constantly worrying about what we have to do rather than living in a place of peace. And peace is a really big thing that it talks about in the Bible. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's a thing that God promised. It's always hand in hand with rest. It's peace and rest a lot of the times. Like, even if you look up peace in the dictionary, it talks about one of the meanings, one of the synonyms for it being restfulness. And I go, that's a really cool thing to look at. Because for me, anytime I sit and I try to rest, I think I'm wasting away. I'm like, well, I have to do something. I can't just sit here. I'm only given so much time to do something, so I have to fill it with as much stuff as I can do. But at the same time, that's when I start to get unhealthy because I realize I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not eating right. I'm not doing the things that I need to do. So if you turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 8 through 15, it says, "And there were shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Again, we see that God's will for us is peace and joy. Just that one statement has two of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in it. And that really stands out to me. And I think the other thing that really stands out to me is the fact that the shepherds willingly went to go see Jesus rather than doing the job that they felt that they were supposed to be doing. They physically went to go spend time with Jesus, and they didn't even know him yet. That's how powerful spending time with Jesus is. So I think that by spending time with the Lord, that's when we begin to have a better relationship, and through this relationship, that's where breakthrough happens. Psalm 90, verse 17 says, May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So when that favor of the Lord rests on us and we rest in the Lord, that's when we have the ability to go out and do works with our hands. So I think that for this holiday season especially, rather than just focusing on everything that's going on and trying to make sure that we have gifts and everything, although that is fun, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I have fun doing it just as much as the next person. I think that we should focus on spending time with the Lord and remembering him and what he's done for us. And so by doing this and spending time in communion with Jesus, we can keep the magic of Christmas alive, if you want to call it that, by spreading joy and peace and all the other fruits of the Spirit to others. So I think my challenge for you guys is just spend time alone with God and listen to what he's saying and what he's teaching you, and then share that with other people, because you don't know what breakthrough that's going to have for somebody else. And even in my own life, like the past week and a half, every morning I get up, I listen to a sermon, and I take time to pray. Like, I specifically set time aside, and I've seen my mood change drastically. I'm in a far better place than when I'm not. Again, it's one of those things where I've been in seasons of my life where I've focused on doing that, and I haven't focused on doing that, and I definitely like who I am when I focus on that more than when I don't. So that's kind of like where I'm at with everything right now. I love Christmas. I love the holidays. I like doing things, and I think that it's really beneficial for us as a church if we can keep focusing on that and that relationship with Christ, but I think also like the relationship with each other. Like, I don't think you need a church for salvation, but I think the church is a gift from God. That way we can be with other people and talk about God and have that relationship with him. That, in my opinion, is the true purpose of the church, is community. So let's focus on being that community. And if I ever do anything, feel free to call me out. I'm okay with that. Half the time I don't realize I'm making mistakes until after somebody's told me, hey, you made a mistake.
Well, since you mention it.
Yeah. Oh, great. let me stop recording real quick. no, but that's pretty much where I'm at. So I just kind of want to open this up to seeing where you guys are, what you guys thought about this, and just kind of opening it up for discussion. So everybody who's listening on the interwebs, if I can open this, thank you so much for tuning in. And yeah.